Okay, today is November 24th, 2014. Okay, so we'll start one time with homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Oh. Okay. We're in lesson 8. I think we did the whole passage on this page 109. Did we finish that, did we?
Yes.
My memory is a little cloudy.
I think we're up to the Dhammapada verse.
Okay. Okay, so then we're on page 110. So these are some verses from the Dhammapada. I have to say, they're not so easy verses. I mean, for somebody who's beginning Pali. But this is the book, so. Okay, so I'll recite and then you recite after me. Duni gahasa lahuno.
Duni gahasa lahuno.
Yata kama nipatino.
Yata kama nipatino.
Chitasa dhammato sadhu.
Chitasa dhammato sadhu.
Chitang dantang sukhavahang. Okay, so du nigahasa. It's based on the word nigaha. Nigaha means to suppress, to restrain, to control. And then the prefix dur, which turns the final, it's D-U-R plus nigaha. But what happens in Pali is that the R will always be, if it's followed by a consonant, will always be assimilated to the following consonant. So, you know, we have durka, which means the difficult state becomes dukkha with K-K-H. Dudasa is based on dasati, and so dur plus dasati, dur plus dasa becomes dudasa, difficult to see. And here, dur is followed by nigahasa, so the R turns into the N. So it's, and so we have du. Dunigaha, and what case is this? It's the genitive. And it's functioning as a compound describing something else. What is it describing? You have to look for the noun here. The genitive singular noun. Any idea what the noun
cheetah.
Is?
Cheetah.
Cheetah. Right. Cheetah. Mm. So you see, we have cheetasa, genitive singular, a noun genitive singular. So di du nigahasa goes with cheetasa. So it's of the mind, which is difficult to control. Then lahuno is based on, there's an adjective lahu, which means, oh, I see. So Francis is now coming in on. Thank you. Okay. So we have the adjective lahu, which originally means light, not like a beam of light, but light in the sense of the opposite of heavy. But it takes on a kind of extended meaning. Something is light, it moves quickly. So lahu also takes on the meaning of being quick, fast. And since it ends with a U, it's declined, I think, on the model of bhikkhu or guru. There should be a model of nouns that end in U. Okay, it's on page 18. You see bhikkhu, then genitive dative is bhikkhu no. So lahu is also describing cittasa. So lahu no is, again, it's the genitive singular. And then we have the word yata kama nipatino. This is a three-term compound. First word in the compound is yata, which means where. Then kama is wish or desire. And then the adjective nipati, do they give it here? Okay, nipati means something like falling. Okay, they give that which falls, clings wherever it wishes. Okay, so that is basically the sense, that which goes wherever it wants. And this is declined on the model of the nouns ending in I-N. Let's see where they have the model for this. Would have been useful to have all of these in one place.
Page 84.
Okay, this is it. Okay, thank you. So page 84, we have the model is given for the noun muchery, which means somebody who is miserly. So you see genitive, singular, mucherino. So here we have nipatin. So we have nipatin, and that would form the nominative as nipati with the long I. like machari, you see, with the long I. But it forms the dative genitive. As nipatino. Okay, so yatta kama nipatino means falling wherever it wants, moving wherever it wants, and all of this is going with chittasa of the mind. Then we have the noun, which is the nominative subject, dhammito, which means, the meanings are given here is restraint, training, taming. So I think taming is good. And then the word sadhu means good. So the training of the mind, which is difficult to control, quick moving, that's lahuno, quick moving, falling wherever it wants, is good. Or you could say good is the taming of the mind, which is hard to control, quick, and falling wherever it wishes. Then comes chitang dantang sukavahang. So the way to understand this, the way is chitang dantang is a mind that is tamed. And then sukhavahang is a compound of sukha, which means happiness, and avahang, which is a suffix meaning bringing or leading to. And so a mind that is tamed leads to happiness. Or a mind that is tamed is a bringer of happiness. You see, sukhavahang is functioning like an adjective describing chitang, but not any chitang, but chitang dantang. A tamed mind brings happiness. And you have to know from the context where, you know, you just have three words here, chitang, dantang, sukhavahang. So to figure out the relation between them, you have to judge from the sense of the meaning. You know, you might take this that the mind is tamed, bringing happiness, but that's not correct. Because the mind is not necessarily tamed. Sometimes the mind can be wild. So you have to know from the context that it's the mind which is tamed brings happiness. Any questions on this? Is it clear? Somebody in the back? I can't see. Oh, see you. Yeah.
So, dhammato is one, it's a noun, not like, is it coming from dhammati, the taming?
It comes from, look, there's a word dhamma, which means the same thing, taming. Yeah, taming or control. And there's a verb dhammati, which means to tame. Actually, usually it comes in the causative form, dhammeti, which is the active to tame. Any other questions? Shall we go on to the next verse then? Okay. Again, I'll recite line by line. Su du dasang su ni punang.
Su du dasang su ni punang.
Yata kama ni patinang.
Yata kama ni patinang.
Chitang raketa me davi.
Chitang raketa me davi.
Chitang gutang sukavahang.
Chitang gutang sukavahang.
Okay, so here we have, first look at the whole verse. It looks very similar to the previous verse. But tell me, what case is the word chitang here? Any guess? June? Right, very good. It's the accusative. And what is the nominative here?
It would be the same because it's neuter.
What?
Is it this?
No,
same.
In this verse, what is the I'm not asking what is the nominative of chitang, but what is the nominative, what is the subject of the verse, of the first three lines? Speak loudly. Okay, I heard it from Venerable Mingjia. Meidavi. Meidavi means a wise one, a wise person. I think if we look, the glossary will have it. Yeah, Meidavin, a wise one, a wise person. And then this is Meidav, you see, the stem form or the base form is Meidavin. And then this is the nominative singular, masculine, Meidavi, similar to Muchery. To Muchery. Okay, so you see, Chitang is the object. And the verb here is raketa, which is, what particular form of the verb is this? What? Right, it's the optative, and this is the middle voice optative, which is often used in verse, not so much in prose. So it's one should protect, one should guard. So the wise person should guard the mind. And then the mind, the first two lines are descriptions of chitang, describing the mind. So the mind is first su du dasang. You see, first here we have du dasang, which means, dasa means seeing. Du dasang is hard to see. Now, su sometimes means easy, sometimes it means happy, and sometimes it means very, like very much. So here, su du dasang means very hard to see. And it's describing chitang. So the mind is very hard to see. Then we have su nipunang. Nipunang means subtle. Subtle, Chinese is what? Shi?
Wei shi.
Wei shi? Yeah. Wei shi. And then this is su nipunang, which means very subtle. And then we have yata kama nipatinang. What does this mean?
It's a folly.
Can anybody figure it out?
Accusative case of the pointing at
one. Yeah, I think this is not on very.
turning towards you.
Well, maybe I have to put raise. Okay. Yata kama nipatinang. Anybody have an idea what it means?
That which goes wherever it wants.
Right, right. Very good. Excellent. And what case is it?
Accusative?
Right. It's accusative singular. Why is it accusative singular?
Because it's the object of mind. It's the object of the sentence.
Well, close.
Chitta.
Say it that. Say the Kim.
Describing chitta.
Right. Because it's an adjective. Itself is not the object, but it's an adjective describing the object. The object is chittang. And so yata kama nipatinang is an adjective describing the object. And so it agrees with the object, so it becomes the accusative. So putting it all together, the wise person should guard the mind, which is very hard to see, very subtle, and which falls wherever it wishes. Then we have chitang gutang sukavahang. Anybody have any idea what this might mean?
Yes.
What?
The protected mind?
Yeah. The protected mind,
the
what?
The protected mind leads to happiness.
Right. The guarded or protected mind leads to happiness. Chitang gutang sukavahang. So it's the mind that is guarded, brings happiness, leads to happiness. You see, it's not the regular word order because it's verse, so it has to fit into particular meter. But once you see the relationship between the words, then it fits together quite naturally. Okay, let's try the next verse. Anavatita chitasa.
Anavatita chitasa.
Sadamang avijanato.
Sadamang abhijanato.
Pariplava pasadasa.
Pariplava pasadasa.
Panyana paripurati.
Panyana paripurati.
Wow! What a surprise! A cat is learning Pali.
Oh, and articulating it.
Wow.
And he's repeating.
Oh, my goodness.
Fairy, what a smart cat.
Oh, oh.
You guys should be ashamed of yourself.
That's what he just said.
Oh, my goodness.
He blinks.
Oh.
Oh. Beautiful. Okay. Okay.
And he's giving correct tenses and everything.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go on. Okay, so we start off with anavatita chitasa. Okay, now let's look at the verse and try to find out what is the subject here. What is the subject There's one subject for the four lines. What is that subject?
Panya.
Panya.
Right. So Panya means wisdom. And the verb, what is the verb?
Paripurity.
Right. Paripurity, which means to become full. To be fulfilled, we could say. And then it's negated, so it says naparipurity. So it the wisdom is not fulfilled. So for whom is wisdom not fulfilled? Then we have the person for whom wisdom is not fulfilled is described by the first three lines. First we have a long, complicated compound, anavatita-chitasa. No, you don't have to, you repeat it already, you don't have to do that. So first you say it's anavatita, so that's a negation. So let's first figure out the positive meaning. Avatita-chitasa is a compound of, do they give of it? They just give the negation. So avatita means steady or firm. It's actually, it's based on okay, it's based on the word tita, which comes from the verb titati. So we have the verb titati. Okay, so titati means, originally it means to stand then it takes on the additional meaning of to last to continue to be steady. Then we have the past participle, tita, which means to be steady, or which means steady or firm. And then we have the form with prefix ava plus tita. It also has a sense of steady or firm, almost the same meaning. It's just okay, and then the negation of that, anavatita.
Unsteady.
Anavatita is not steady. Mm-hmm. we could say wavering, fickle. Okay, and then unsteady, not steady. Let's say unsteady. Is joined with citta, so it means unsteady mind. But this is representing a person, so it's one with an unsteady mind. So this is an adjective compound, meaning not an unsteady mind in itself, but one with an unsteady mind, a person with an unsteady mind. Then we have did somebody say Bhante? Okay. I thought I heard somebody say Bhante. Okay. So one with an unsteady mind. And then we have Saddhammang Avijanato. So to figure this out, first, what grammatical form is Avijanato?
Genitive.
No. Genitive of what?
Genitive of
You have to know the grammatical form. Even before we get the meaning, just get the grammatical form. Is it a verb? A participle? A gerund? Gerundive? What? Right, very good. It's a present participle. And it's the present participle of the verb vijanati, which one of the meanings, to understand. Okay, so it's the present participle, and what particular form of the present participle in terms of tense, not tense, a person and number?
Genitive singular.
Right, genitive singular. And if you look at the table for the present participle, let's see what page it's on. It should be lesson 3, section 6. Yeah, that just has. Okay, 70 is better.
Yeah.
So you see, for the verb gacchati, we have the singular. We go through gacchanto, gacchantang. Then genitive dative is gacchato. And so if we look here, we see Saddhammang Avijanato. So that to ending is the genitive, singular genitive ending. So it means for one not understanding, then the object is Saddhammang, the good Dharma. So for one with an unsteady mind, for one who does not understand the good Dharma, then we have Pariplava Pusadasa. This is a compound of Pariplava, which means something like floating or wavering, again unsteady. And prasada means confidence or trust or faith. So one with unsteady confidence, unsteady faith. So putting it all together, anybody want to try putting it all together into meaningful English? Kim, you want to try? Any volunteers?
Oh, okay. Bhante, I was just muting my phone.
Okay. Okay, you
Let
want
me
to try?
Try, Bhante.
Okay.
Wisdom is not fulfilled.
Yeah.
For one with an unsteady mind.
Yeah.
For one who does not understand the Dharma.
Yeah.
And for one with unsteady faith.
Okay, good. Except there should be one who does not understand the good Dhamma, Sad Dhamma. Okay, so wisdom is not fulfilled for one with an unsteady mind, for one who does not understand the good Dhamma, for one with wavering or unsteady faith. Any questions about this?
I just have a quick question. I don't really understand what the good Dhamma means. What would be the bad Dhamma?
Sometimes the texts do speak about asadhamma, what is the ungood Dhamma. That would be not teachings coming from the Buddha, but any kind of teaching that was given in India is called a Dhamma. So even those who teach that there's, you know, no results of good and bad deeds, you could say that that is their Dhamma, their teaching. But from a Buddhist perspective, that would be called asadhamma, not good Dhamma or bad Dhamma.
Because I thought somehow the Dhamma could be thought of the way it is. And so
it also takes on the meaning of a teaching, yeah. So any teacher who teaches their own particular doctrine, that's their Dhamma. Okay, so let's go on to the next verse. Yava jivam piche balo.
Yava jivam piche balo.
Piche balo.
Panditang pai rupasati.
Panditang pai rupasati.
Naso dhammang vijanati.
Naso dhammang vijanati.
The space-time continuum is warped, you know. Dabhi supa rasangyata.
Dabhi supara samyata.
Okay, first, yava jivam. This means as long as one lives, or all one's life. It's it functions like an adverb in decline. It's not decline. Or you could say lifelong, as long as one lives, all one's life. Then the P gives the sense of even, piche, even if. Then balo means fool, a foolish person. And panditang means a wise person. So often in the suttas, there's the contrast between bala and pandita, the wise, the foolish, the fool, and the wise one. Then pai rupasati means to serve, to attend upon, to associate with. Yeah, I'm getting feedback coming from from the computer. Please mute your speakers. Okay, so pai rupasati means to, let's say, to serve or to attend upon. Okay, then we have naso dhammang vijanati. So the subject here is so, he, referring to the foolish person. Then we have vijanati, in the sense to understand, and then to understand the Dhamma, but it's negated by na. So he does not understand the Dhamma. Here, when you have Dhamma alone, then it's almost always understood to be the Buddha's teaching, or the way it is. Okay, so he does not understand the Dhamma. Then we have a simile, dabhi supa rasang yata. So yata means just as, and dabhi is the spoon. Tangchu, right?
Tangchu.
Yeah. And supa means what?
Soup.
Right? Yeah. So soup.
Soup.
Sopa. Spanish?
Italian sopa.
Sopa.
And rasang means flavor. Chang wei.
Wei dao.
Wei dao. I'm sorry. Wei dao. Wei dao. Okay, so even if a fool, even if all his life a fool associates with or serves a wise person, he does not understand the Dhamma, just as a spoon. Then we have to understand does not experience, even though a verb isn't used, just as a spoon does not experience the taste of the soup, or the spoon does not know the taste of the soup. So you put the spoon in the soup and you leave it there all day, all month. Well, the soup will get spoiled. You don't want to leave it that long. But you leave it overnight, and the spoon will never experience the taste of the soup.
I opened the Dhammapada this morning. I open every morning just to read a verse, and this was the verse.
Mm. So serendipitous.
Oh, so good. Oh, I'm spoon.
No, you have to think in the other way.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we have the next verse is Muhutam api chevinyu.
Muhutam api chevinyu.
Panditang pai rupasati.
Panditang pai rupasati.
Kipang damang vijanati.
Kipang damang vijanati.
Jivha supa rasang yata.
Jivha supa rasang yata.
Okay, so now this is the converse or the opposite verse. So muhutam means a moment, for a moment.
So Sante, this is also in decline of it?
Muhuta is sometimes used as a noun, but I think in this way it's probably indeclinable, for a moment. So, and then muhutam is joined with uppi here in order to get the right syllable count. So muhutam uppi che vinyu. So che is if, and vinyu means an intelligent person or a wise person. So if a wise person, even for a moment, serves or associates with a wise one, kīpam dhammang vijānāti. Kīpam means quickly. So he understands the Dhamma quickly. Jīvha supa rasaṅyata. Just as jīvha is tongue, just as the tongue knows the taste of the soup. You see, the verb vijānāti actually goes in two lines, in line 3, and then it also, the meaning also carries into line 4. So, in the previous verse, he does not understand the Dhamma just as the spoon does not know the taste of the soup. And then in the second verse, he quickly understands the Dhamma just as the tongue understands the taste of the soup. Any questions on this?
Bhante?
Yeah.
I have a question on the second verse.
Yeah.
It says the mind is very hard to see, very subtle, and which falls wherever it wishes.
Yeah.
Now, falls wherever it wishes, does it mean that it just falls on whatever object of the six senses? Is that what it really means?
I guess so. It doesn't really specify. It just means that the mind moves around wherever it wants. It's not under one's control. So it's like the mind has a will of its own. It goes to whatever it likes. Especially, I guess it means that the mind dwells on objects of sensual pleasure.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay.
So, Bhante?
Yeah.
What does this mean? Like, in the previous verse, so a fool, even if associates with a wise person for the whole life, does that mean perhaps if they don't practice, why don't they?
Well, of course, if a fool accepts the Dhamma and starts to practice, then they can change to a wise person. But it means somebody who continues to be a fool.
Even though,
you know, if they don't want to change their foolish ways of thinking, then they remain a fool. I'm sure there's a story that goes with this.
There was, but I can't remember it exactly, mm-hmm. but there is a story. They had the commentary mm-hmm. underneath this, and it's out of my mind at the moment. It'll come back. That went with this.
Oh, you have Venerable Narada's version,
yes.
I guess. So. He has the summaries.
Yeah, so it has the summary of it. It's never had its head. You know, it was clear.
Yeah.
They told what had happened.
Was this this? Yeah, I don't remember what the story is. Okay, let's go on to the next verse then. Okay. Natang kamang katang sadu.
Natang kamang katang sadu.
Natang sadu.
Yang katva anutapati.
Yang katva anutapati.
Yasa asu muko rodang.
Yasa asu muko rodang.
Vipakam pati sevati.
Vipakam pati sevati.
Okay, so here we have first the negation, not, then tongue kamang, that deed, then katang is done, and sadhu is good. So that deed or that action done, or let's put it this way, that action is not well done. We'll take katang sadhu together. It's not well done. Then yang katva anutapati. So this is actually anutapati is actually the passive form, which means is regretted. So which having been done is regretted. Then the next two lines one has to take together. Yasa asumu ko rodang vipakang pati sevati. So yasa means of which, and of which belongs with tung kamang, that karma, that action, of which, and then yasa has to be joined with vipakang. Vipaka means the result of a deed, the result of karma. Then vipakang here is the accusative of the verb patisevati. Patisevati, here we could say experience. Let's see what meaning they give. They don't give the meaning here. We could say experience, to receive. Yeah, they give one meaning, experiences is good. So of which, the result of which one experiences, then we have asu muko. Now the word asu means tears, and the word muka can mean face or mouth. But here I think it means face. So asu muka would mean a tearful face. Kuti? Is that the Chinese? Kuti. 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 Kuchi. Kuchi. Kuchi de mian. Lian. Kuchi de lian. Okay. So, tearful face. And rodang, what grammatical form is rodang? Right, very good. It's the present participle, and it's the short form of the nominative singular. Again, if you look on page 70, you see the table and you see the nominative singular. The full form, the long form, is gacchanto, but the short form, which we often see in verse, is gacchang. That's for gacchati. And here we have the verb roditi. So the strong form of the present participle for roditi would be what?
Rodanto.
The strong form. The full form.
Rodanto.
Rodanto, right. Rodanto. Then the short form is rodang. So this is weeping. Okay, so now we have all of the words. Now we have to unscramble them and put them together. Okay, so that deed is not well done. Or that deed, when done, is not good. Which, having been done, is regretted or is repented. Nega, yeah. Zola, Chan Hui, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Buhao, Nega. Nega, yeah, buhao. Bushan. Bushan, yeah. Okay. So it's not a good deed. The result of which one experiences weeping with a tearful face. Got it? Good to take notes on this because we're going to have a review.
But Bhante, that first line is not clear to me. Na tham kammang katam sadhu.
Yeah.
So na, so not having done a action well.
No, no. First, take tung kamang katang, that deed done, then take nasadu, is not good. So that deed, when done, is not good. Or you could take it in the sense, that deed is not well done. You can take sadu as going together with katang.
Katam is present participle of the verse.
The katang is the past participle.
Past participle.
Yeah. Let me see how the commentary construes it.
So you said that deed when done is not good.
Yeah, you could say that deed when done is not good. Does anybody know the number of that verse?
Dhammapada 5, 67, 68.
67, 68. Actually, the commentary takes anuttapati not as passive, but as active. Okay, so it says that having done a deed which is able to produce rebirth in the hells and so on, which has painful results, recollecting it, anusarita, anusarita, one regrets it every time, at every moment one recollects it and sorrows over it, that done is not good. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that different? A different translation from sales?
Yeah.
It says, no deed is good that one regrets having done, that results in weeping and a tear-streaked face.
No, actually. I mean, it's not so literal. That results in weeping mm-hmm. and a tear-streaked face. I mean, it gets the sense, but it's not following the wording so closely. Like, I'm trying to translate to bring out the grammatical forms rather than just taking the sense. So it's... because asumuko rodung is... they're nominative singular forms, so they're describing the subject rather mm-hmm. than... how did Gil Fronsdale put it?
No deed is good that one regrets having done.
Yeah.
That results in weeping and a tear-streaked face.
Yeah, you see... syntactically, according to the Pali, asumuko and rodung are not accusative objects of result, but rather they're nominative singular. They're describing the subject. So it's the result of which one experience, one with a tearful face weeping experience. How to put this?
Experience.
Okay, so that deed done, or that deed is not well done, which having done, one regrets or one repents, the result of which one experiences with tearful face weeping. Do you get it? So asumoko and rodung should be taken as nominative singulars describing the mm-hmm. subject.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Then let's take the next verse, which is again the counterpart to this. Tancha kamang katung sadhu.
Tamche kamam katam sadhu.
Katam sadhu.
Yang katva nanu tapati.
Yang katva nanu tapati.
Yasa patito sumano.
Yasa patito sumano.
Patito sumano.
Vipakam patisevati.
Vipakam patisevati.
Okay, so we have tancha. The cha here has the sense of, rather than and, I think but, because it's setting up a contrast. So, but that deed done is good. Yang katva nanu tapati, which having done, then it's na anutapati. One does not regret, one does not repent. Then we have yasa should be taken with vipakang, patisevati, the result of which one experiences, or one experiences the result of which, then patito is delighted, and sumano is joyful. Again, these are nominative singulars which describe the one who is experiencing the result. So that deed, but that deed, when done, is good, which, having done, one does not regret. The result of which one experiences delighted and joyful.
Yasa is for the karma, not for the person.
Right. Right. Yeah, yasa represents the karma. Yasa is the relative going with tang kamang, that action.
Because you're on video search, I think.
Oh. Okay, I think Venerable Buddha Rakita has that done. Ill done is that action of doing which, maybe that's not so good. Ill done is that action, I would cut out the of, doing which, or having done which, one repents later, and the fruit of which one weeping reaps with tears. And he has well done is that action, then I would say, having done which, one repents not later, or better, one does not repent later, and the fruit of which one reaps, I would say, delighted and happy, or delighted and joyful. Okay, let's do the last verse here. Any more questions on these? Okay, let's do the last one then. Atanam eva patamang.
Atanam eva patanam.
Pati rupe nivesaye.
Atirupe nivesaye.
Atanyam anusaseya.
Atanyam anusaseya.
Nakileseya pandito.
Nakileseya pandito.
Okay, it's good when doing these verses as exercise first, be able to translate each word individually and to understand its grammatical function, then put them all together. Okay, so first we have atanam. Atanam means the self, but here it just has a reflexive sense. It doesn't mean the metaphysical self, but it means oneself. In what case is it? Right, accusative. So that means it's functioning as the object. Object. And then atanam eva. The eva is just for emphasis. Somewhat like the Chinese jiu. Okay. Patamang means first. Then patirupe means they give agreeable. I think that's not so accurate. I would say better what's proper or suitable. In what case is patirupe? What case?
Accusative?
No. Okay. I didn't ask you, but you got it right. What? It's locative. You should remember Buddho, Buddhang, Buddhena, Buddhasa, Buddhaya, Buddhasa, Buddhasma, Buddhe. In what is proper. Then we have a verb here. Nivesaye. Now this verb is a kind of shortened form. First we have nivesati, which means to dwell or to settle. Like to settle upon something, to dwell on something. Okay, but then we have the causative form of this. To make it causative, it becomes nivesati. To cause to dwell. Or a simple word. That means to cause to dwell, to establish, or to settle in an active sense. Let me see. Maybe it's better to place or to put. Okay, but now based on the causative, we have here nivesaye. Anybody know what grammatical form this is? Hint, it's a shorter form of the usual. Let's see where we might find it. 101. I see optatives there, but I don't see this kind of up. Maybe they haven't given this kind of optative. I know that they explained this particular verb in this lesson. This is on page 115. But he didn't give a good explanation. I'm looking for Duracell's Pali Grammar, which I want to download.
Okay. Oh, here.
Page 53,
yeah.
The short form.
Yeah. Page 53. That's all right.
You said 53?
I have the short form of the two.
I don't see it here.
Page 53, section 6.
That's different, which is not the same. End. Ending.
Anyway, you take my word for it. I'll have to I'll have to check the Pali. Yeah, I'll have to download the Pali grammar. Okay, so coming back. Okay, so this is... the normal... optative would be niveseya. But now what happens here is that the E turns into AY. And then it uses the short optative ending E. Yeah, just a moment.
This one to go.
Okay, here we find it. Okay, the optative, see, pachayami, pache, pacheya, pache. So this is the short ending with the E at the end for the optative. And that is what we have here with nivesayi. So this is a causative optative singular, the sense of one should establish. Okay, so now let's go to the third line. Atta, and then we have a sandhi here. Atta plus anyam. Atta means then. Anyam means another person. Anusa seya means one should instruct, one should teach. Then na kile seya. Again, this is optative, meaning one should not afflict, or maybe the sense of one should not afflict oneself, or one should not be afflicted. Okay, so putting all of the words together. Okay, so one should first That's patamang. Establish. Nivesaye. Oneself. Atanam eva. Pati rupe. In what is proper. One should first establish oneself in what is proper. Then one should instruct another person, or one should instruct others. The wise person should not be afflicted. For the wise person should not be defiled. So in other words, if a person starts trying to teach others before he's established himself in what is proper, then he'll get defiled or afflicted. But if he first settles himself in what is proper and then instructs others, then he won't be defiled or won't be afflicted. Yeah.
So this nive saye,
yeah.
It seems like even though the positive that it shows is nive sayati, is there another one like a nive sayati that would actually make it?
Mm.
So nive sayati would be in the short form optative, nive saye. Is there a
sure that I catch the question.
Is there a causative form also like nivesayati?
The full optative causative would be nivesaya. Yeah. Now, what happens to make the short form is they want to put the ending e on it. But since we have here you see you can't put an E on top of another E.
Oh, you can't say simply nive se.
Yeah. So what happens is that this E has to be expanded into AY, and then you put the E at the end of Nivesaye. Actually, they're both four syllables. Nivesaye. Nivesaye. It must have to do with the meter itself rather than the syllable count. Nivesaye. I think the reason is that you don't have to be responsible for this, but if you have, you see, the A sound is a strong syllable. So if you have ni ve, then you have ni is short, ve is strong, se is strong, and ya is weak. But this way we have weak, strong, weak, strong. So alternating weak and strong. So that must fit this meter better. I don't really know Pali meter very well. Pati, pati, rupe, nive, saye. Whereas if you say pati, rupe, nive saya. It sounds all right to me.
This other sounds better.
Nive saya. You want a break?
Yeah.
People seem to be getting a little restless.
People are sleeping.
Actually, Bhante, this attached translation seems incorrect then. Maybe it says, thus the wise man will not be reproached.
I don't think reproach is involved here.
Right.
Okay. Let me see what Buddha Rakita did. Yeah, if anybody wants to go out on a break, this is your chance. Where are the downloads? Oh, yeah.
Joseph Goldstein, when something happens in the...
Did you get your copy of the recording that you ordered?
And write a note because the money is stolen from you. Can I do that?
Yeah, let me just...
Yeah. The money is still inside.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And for this, I have the receipt already, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're okay, and I will do that, I use my own check.
Okay.
Okay, the mail out. Okay.
I'll give you the There's a form just to send the donation.
You have the form?
I'll give you the forms.
Oh, yeah. Good. That would be better.
Yeah, I have the forms in my room.
Okay, thank you.
For both of them?
Yeah, for both of them.
For
because
the
money is still inside.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe not a good choice.